Now, let's take our Bibles once again, please. And back to the book of Genesis. We started this morning looking at Sarah, the 90-year-old mother. We said it was our intention to come back this morning or this evening to finish this study off. Let's turn to Genesis 21 this evening, please. Genesis 21 and the opening verse. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. She said, Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Then over to Hebrews once again, just to read those two verses. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse 11. Hebrews 11, the verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself conceived, or received strength to conceive seed, was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead as so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. As we mentioned this morning, just to give a brief recap, we started to look at the life of Sarah. And in the gallery of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, there are only two ladies' names who are mentioned, Sarah and Rahab. We looked this morning at the life of Sarah. We started that look into her life. We began by considering Sarah's hardship. And how there in Genesis 11, in the verse 30, it tells us that Sarah was barren, unable to have children. And even though she had all of the blessings in this life in terms of material things, she had a wealthy husband, a wealthy family, she enjoyed all of the riches, the encouragement that she needed, the comforts of life. But there was that part that was missing. We mentioned of how that men were measured successful in terms of their wealth and the size of their farms. We mentioned of how the ladies were, their wealth was measured in children. That time in her life, she had nothing. In terms of success, she had no child. We've highlighted and drew it into the church setting, and how men and women will measure a church in terms of its size of building facilities, and how that a church can be measured in terms of its finances. Yet, like Sarah, a church can be barren. No spiritual birth taking place. We ask the question this morning, does it bother us like it bothered Sarah? Does it bother us within the church if a year goes past without a soul being saved? And then we moved on to look at Sarah's hope. All of the covenantal promises that were given to Abraham. Genesis 12 and verses 2 and 3, that wonderful missionary text that all of the families of the earth would be blessed. And we went on to look at chapter 13, chapter 15, chapter 17, the promises given that there would be seed, that Abraham and Sarah would have a child. And we highlighted how we must cling to the promises of God for us, that there shall be showers of blessing. Matthew 16 and 18, that the Lord will build his church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's where we left it off this morning. That Sarah's hope was found within the Lord. Sarah, even in her hardship, she had the promises to cling to. I want to thirdly draw your attention this evening to Sarah's hindrance. You'll find that in Genesis 16. In Genesis chapter 16, you will find Sarah's hindrance in the verses 1 and 2. Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Then over to Genesis 18 and the verse 12. Just after Abram has received that news, the Lord, as he appeared unto him, tells us Genesis 18 and the verse 12, Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Am I, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? You know, there was much in the life of Sarah that was pleasing. There was much within the life of Sarah that was good. The Apostle Peter in his epistle would highlight of how she was that model wife. Of how she was such a positive influence in terms of an Abraham and how she conducted herself towards Abram. Whenever the Lord commanded Abram to leave Ur of the Chaldees, Sarah went willingly. Sarah never fussed or complained about having to up sticks and to move. She followed willingly after. Much positive and good, but yet she wasn't perfect. The hindrances that are found in the life of Sarah, sadly, are found too often in the Church of Jesus Christ today. The hindrance of impatience, as we read in Genesis 16. The hindrance of impatience. Genesis 16, she had, by that stage, the promise from God. There would be seed. That promise was given. There would be nations. There would be men and women that would come because of Abraham and Sarah having a child. But yet, when we come to Genesis 16, the verses 1 and 2, we see the impatience of Sarah in the work. The first time she received that promise from the Lord, she was 65 years old. Genesis 16, the verse 1, she is now 75. 10 years have passed. 10 long years. She longs for that child. She longs for that promise of God to be fulfilled within that life. It got to the point her impatience took over. She couldn't bear to wait any longer. Oh, the way that God had said he would bless, in her eyes it wasn't working. It needed changed. Oh yes, she wasn't going to change it completely. She was only going to tinker with it. Yes, Abraham would still be involved. Keep Abraham in the mix. But let's just change that little part in terms of let's change of how the blessing would come and how the promise would be fulfilled. Sarah takes herself out of the equation. She says, what we'll do is, I have a maid, Hagar. Let's bring her into the equation. And Abraham, my womb is shut up. Therefore, I cannot help. Here's Hagar. Maybe we'll get the seed off her. Hagar was an Egyptian. A woman of the world. Essentially, what Sarah and her impatience was doing was bringing the world into the equation. Saying the way of God is not working, therefore we need to bring other things in. Let's look to the world for help. Let's look to the world that we can find something in the world that will help us. Her panic to have a child and to enjoy that blessing of birth, she turned away from the old proven ways. tried to bring in new ways to have success. Now we're only at Genesis 16 here. And every birth from the time when Adam and Eve had their first child up to this point, the genealogies were this. Man and woman came together in marriage. Children were born. Never before did they look to anyone else outside. Here in her panic, she wants to cast aside the proven ways, the ways that had been set in place by the Lord, the ways that had been given, that children were born in the past. And Sarah, she comes and she says, no, let's set that aside and let's turn to the world. Sarah was wrong in what she did. Sadly, today there are churches who will bring the world into the church to try and get success. There are churches who will bring in the methods into the equation. They will have the worldly entertainment brought into the church. They will say, let's bring in the worldly music. Let's have film nights on a Sunday night instead of preaching. Let's fill out the church with all of the people of the area. Come in as if it was a cinema or a concert. There are churches today, even within our land, who will host anything and everything just to get people in the seats. Get a crowd in through the doors. There are denominations and they will look at dwindling church numbers. They panic. They'll grab at anything. You see, that sin of impatience that leads to further sin. Understand that. Sarah was impatient of the Lord. It caused Abram to sin by going into Hagar. Then caused the sin of jealousy within Sarah whenever Hagar fell pregnant. The sin of hatred towards Hagar that she cast her out. And so it continues. Child of God, if we look to the world just to fill a church, or if we look to the world just because we can't wait on the Lord to move, it just leads to sin. More sin. This house, the services which take place in this house are for the glory of God. Not just to fill the place. We look to the Lord that His promises will come to pass. We look to the Lord that in His time and in His way, souls will be saved and this church will be built up. And yea, more and more will be gathered in under the sound of the word of God, but according to His way. What did Christ do in Matthew 21? He went into the temple and there they were exchanging, selling, and they were selling the doves. They were doing their business, their custom within the temple. What did Christ do? He went in and He cast them out. He overturned their tables and He threw them out and He cast each of those people out and He says, what? This is a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Brothers and sisters, this is a house of the Lord. For the worship of the Lord. And yes, we long for spiritual births to take place in this church. And we long for souls to be saved. But in God's way. The proven way. In God's time. Not only was it the hindrance of impatience. But Genesis 18 and the verse 12 you have the hindrance of doubt. The hindrance of doubt. That word had came to Abraham. Even though they were well stricken and old in age, yet that promise had come afresh, and it was very definite this time. 1 year from now, Sarah will have a child. And what does it tell us there in the verse 12? Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? She had waited for those years. Now at the ripe old age, 90. God brings a message. 1 year. You'll have a child this time next year. Instead of believing, she mocked. She doubted. She looked at the situation with her human eye. She looked at her age. She said, I'm 90. My husband's 100. My body's aged. I no longer am of the way of the woman. She laughed. She mocked God. How would it be possible, two old age pensioners having a child? Humanly speaking, it's impossible. But what does the Lord say in Genesis 18 to verse 14? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Sarah doubted. See, brethren and sisters, when we doubt the Lord, what we're actually doing is we're questioning both his veracity and his ability. Does God keep his promises? Yes, he does. Every one of them. Does God have the power to do what he says he will do? Yes, he does. Every time. Job testified of this in Job 42 in verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything. Gabriel testified of this when he came and he visited with Mary. Luke 1 in verse 32. With God nothing shall be impossible. Was it impossible for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born of a virgin? Not with God it wasn't. Was it impossible for the Son of God to take into union with himself a human nature? Not with God it wasn't. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes. Faith answers, I. Brothers and sisters, doubt is one of the greatest hindrances in the church today. We can listen to the radio. We can watch the TV. We hear the news and we see the morals of men and women in our land today and how far they have fallen. We look at the state and we have to testify so often we look through the human glasses. We see it darkly. We see it from the human perspective and so often we think it's only heading one direction. There's no hope. We look through the human glasses, it's nothing but depressing and defeatist. But when we look through the spiritual glasses, and we look in faith, we see what God can do. Have the faith of Abraham, Genesis 17 and verse 17. Abraham, he too laughed. Abraham laughed with joy. Read Genesis 17 to verse 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? But Abraham laughed with joy. Sarah laughed in doubt. Abraham believed in God's word and promise, and he rejoiced. Child of God, rejoice tonight. Because God's on the throne. God can save even the hardened sinners. God has promised that he will make his enemies his footstool. He will save. The sinners can and are still being saved right across our world. I have no doubt that in the 24-hour period of this Sabbath day, wherever you go in the world, sinners have been saved. Spiritual births have taken place. Men and women, boys and girls, whatever the age, they have come to saving faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ right here today. I have no doubt about that. Because the Spirit's never stopped working. And I have no doubt that wherever souls are being saved. I've no doubt souls can and will be saved in Northern Ireland. Oh, that our doubts would flee. And even as we looked at recently in the prayer meeting, that our faith would increase. That we would trust in him. Fourthly and finally, Genesis 21. Sarah's happiness. Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. In verses 6 and 7, Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. She said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Where was Sarah's happiness found? It was found in the Lord. It was found in his word. You know how interesting as you read those verses in Genesis 21, time and time again, it highlights the power of God. It highlights the truth of God. The verse 1, Sarah, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. God's word is true. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. God's word is true. For Sarah conceived in old age. God is powerful at the set time of which God had spoken. God's word is true. Emphasis after emphasis is coming from these verses telling us trust in the Lord. His word is sure. His word is truth. Oh yes, Sarah had failed the Lord. For a season she lacked faith. But God in his mercy was patient and long-suffering with her. She repented of her lack of faith and she was given power. Tells us in Hebrews 11. She was given strength. That word strength there in Hebrews 11 and the verse 11 is a Greek word dunamos. We get the English word dynamo from it. In Hebrews 11 and the verse 11, it is rendered, and the literal translation of it is miraculous power. 90-year-old woman was given and she received the power of the Holy Ghost upon her. She was given that physical strength. She was able to do miraculous things. She was given that strength to conceive a child. She was given that strength at the age of 90 years old to carry that child full term. She was given the strength to go through that period of labor, bring forth the child, and she survived and he survived. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. And the church today is no different. The power of the Holy Ghost is there. It's available to every child of God. The power of that Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, which was purchased upon Calvary's tree. It's there for the church today. Not what Christ spoke of. the faith, the size of a mustard seed, we can say unto the mountains, be thou removed, cast into the sea. That's miraculous power. But just like Sarah, there must be the purging of the doubts. There must be that time spent in our lives where we confess, Lord, we have doubted. Lord, forgive us for our doubts. I trust in you, and only you. There will be spiritual births, and doubting gives over. You see the joy that is in that chapter, Genesis 21. She called his name Isaac, meaning laughter. The laughter of Abraham, the laughter of Sarah. Now, yes, Sarah, now she's laughing, she's rejoicing, the joy in that mother. You picture it as Sarah, as that child was born into the world, and she's holding Isaac in her arms. She kisses him. She holds him. She feels his warmth against her. As that child would grow, and she watched him crawl and then walk and talk. As he was able to run around, the joy that there was in that family over that spirit or over that birth into the family, and the joy that we can find in the church and in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Isn't there joy in heaven? Over one. Oh, the joy that is in the church whenever sinners come to Christ. 3 John in the verse 4, what does the apostle say? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We have joy in our families when our loved ones come to Christ. Whether it be the children, the parents, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters, whenever they come and they tell you, I've come to Jesus Christ, I've asked him to save me. Oh, the joy that fills the family and the joy that fills the church family. Whenever one in the number of the church here, the visible church, when they come to faith in Christ, or one from the area, and they come in and they're saved by the grace of God, the joy that fills our souls. You see, spiritual babes grow in grace and the things of God. Oh, child of God, believe in his promises tonight. Have faith in them. Faith is no weak thing. No, the devil will mock faith. The devil will say, faith, it's only for old people, deluded people, real strong men and women that don't need faith. That's a lie from hell. Faith is that which makes us strong, not weak. The strength of faith and the power of the Holy Ghost upon us. And Sarah had that faith. Why she's found in the gallery of faith. She judged him faithful. Now there is a wonderful connection tonight between Sarah and ourselves. Because whenever you consider the life of Sarah and indeed the life of Abraham, you must consider Christ. The plan of redemption. Sarah and Abraham had a child. He was named Isaac. Isaac had twins, Esau and Jacob. Jacob became the greater. He had 12 sons, 12 tribes. From the tribe of Judah would come forward the eternal Son of God. He was a descendant of Abraham in the physical sense. Every Christian is a descendant of Abraham in the spiritual sense. Galatians 3 and verse 29, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." We can look tonight at Sarah, and indeed at Abraham, as our ancestors in Christ. We who are the actual church of Jesus Christ, we who are saved, can learn tonight from our ancestors in Christ. And in those times of barrenness and hardship, that there is hope. There's hope in Christ. We can learn tonight that impatience and doubt are hindrances to the work of God. Must be dealt with and cleansed. But we can learn from Abraham and indeed from Sarah tonight that there's happiness and there's blessing to be enjoyed when we trust in the Lord and we trust in His Word. Child of God, tonight, are we believing in God? This isn't a very in-depth look into the life of Sarah. It's barely but glossing and going over the top, just grazing. But though that we would learn even from this brief study in her life, that we would lament our barrenness. We would hope in Christ. We would rid ourselves of the hindrances which are besetting us, that we would enjoy the happiness of souls being saved, spiritual births within this church, within our families. May the Lord bless His Word.